Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Southern Miss fans know the number one stop for Golden Eagle apparel is Campus Bookmart on Hardy Street in Hattiesburg. Baseball, basketball, football, Campus Bookmart has it covered with clothing to fit the young and old, big and small Golden Eagle in your family. You can visit the store on Hardy Street, shop online at campusbookmart.net, or call in your order and have it mailed to your front door. However you choose to buy, always visit Campus Bookmart first. You won't be sorry. Campus Bookmart and Southern Miss, to the top.
Roll free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Let's go, Eagle Hour, on a Tuesday from the Southern Bancorp Studios in Hattiesburg. And Laurel, Luke Johnson, Kelly Sander, Michael Mergens, happy to have you along. Golden Eagles set to take on Nicholls State tonight. We'll talk some baseball here in just a few minutes. Women's golf continues at the Sun Belt Championships. Men golf also. Playing up in central Mississippi. We'll get to all that later in the show. First segment, as always, brought to you on this Tuesday by Dickie's Barbecue, located in a community near you. Some of the best meats smoked anywhere. Go see Dickie's near you and in Hattiesburg, just outside Turtle Creek Mall. Well, it is Tuesday, and happy to have Daniel Stewart joining us. He's with you, Kelly. And looking strapping as always, correct?
Yeah, in the studio today and next week. We're going to have to work around his busy schedule. He's, you know, going to be in Dallas next week. And, you know, I think he's opening for Prince or somebody. No. Yeah.
No.
Yeah, not Prince. But anyway, he'll be in Dallas
Prince
next week.
Prince cover band.
Yeah. The Purple Rain, R-E-I-G-N, maybe.
Right.
But good to have Daniel here in the studio. And
absolutely.
Daniel was not a good weekend for the Eagles, but you played the game at a high level. Look, it's just one of those things.
You know, it is one of those things. And, you know, we score 8 runs in a game. I expect us to have a victory. But a lot of talk about the field and, you know, but, you know, both teams were playing on the same field. We really struggled pitching-wise. And, you know, like I said, it is kind of one of those things that does happen. You hate to see it happen back-to-back nights. But, hey, you know, we're really going to see what we're made of. How do we get over this and move forward?
I want to, before we move on, because we weren't going to put Oz in that spot yesterday, but several Golden Eagle fans online have used Google Maps to do the measurements. And it looks, Daniel, like lines were 315, gaps were 345, center is 375.
Yeah.
I had somebody text me this yesterday. I mean, should there be, and because the coastal conversation will come up, we're playing them here, but should there be regulations that all Division I parks should follow so that, and to your point, we hit on the same field. But, I mean, is there something to that? There should be minimum requirements?
Well, you know, there's something to it. But, you know, there's a lot of talk at the end of the year about, you know, this team hit this many home runs and this pitching staff's ERA was at a certain number. And, you know, it doesn't really take into account field sizes. So I do think there's probably should be some minimums, but I don't know if you want to set those minimums too high. You know, I remember playing at the University of Louisville before they built their great – nice big stadium they've got, played in an old football field. So it was like 360 down the left field line, but about 275 down the right field line. We still played, still had a great weekend. So it does create some novelty maybe to some of these stadiums, but where the game's played right now and, you know, those guys can hit and, you know, the baseballs are slick and everybody wants to see some offense, I do think there probably needs to be some minimums.
And there has to be balance because it seems like – in Omaha, they may have extended it too much. And, Kelly, nobody wants the dimensions of Hattiesburg High School where it's 490 in center field either.
No, with the flagpole still in the playing area, you know. So somebody, if they launched one, they could theoretically hit the flagpole in center field, and it would be, you know, it would be a live ball. But, you know, Major League Baseball has different dimensions at the different ballparks. So I think the point is well taken that I don't know that you'd want to have maximums. And as Coach Ostrander said, Georgia State, knowing the field that they play on, he recruits athletes that are, that I can put it in layman's terms, are like the big guys that used to play slow pitch. All you would do is throw it in there, and they would, they didn't care, they'd hit it in the air, they just hit it a mile.
Get it up, get it in the wind, let it blow, and blow out of there.
And know that half of your games are going to be at home, so he's recruiting his players, you know, to perform well in that kind of field. So, hey, if that's smart.
Well, I think I saw somewhere there were 25 home runs hit this weekend, us having 13, them having 12. It didn't seem that way as you're watching the game. But
well, a lot of ours were solo home.
A lot of solo home runs. Yeah. But, like we say, we play on the same field, and I've seen the rumors that they had our pitch watch whatever we watch. You know, I don't know about that. But,
no.
It did seem that they were sitting on fastballs and making the most of them. So
we were told that several other teams, I think Troy was one that was named, had the same issue last year, because we all do remember the iffy UAB series a few years back where it did appear that some wires had been crossed. But Troy, I think, had the same issue last year. Anything they threw, it seemed like they had a red eye approach to it. And what we were told was is that, you know, Troy basically said when they played there, it was the same situation. I do something that Oz said yesterday, and he said it also at Georgia Southern after the Georgia Southern series, Daniel, it stands out in my mind, is Oz was told after both of those series by both of those coaches that this was the best three games, coach, that we have played all year long. And I think in year two in the Sun Belt, Southern Miss better understand every time they play somebody in the conference, that team has already circled that weekend on the calendar.
Well, we've talked about it before. On our conference games, Southern Miss has a target on our back when we go to play these teams. We're the team they play up for. So to hear that they had great, really great weekends we came in town to play is not surprising, because they were, like you said, this was a game they circled before the season started, and they were looking forward to this weekend.
Kelly, fill in the blanks for me yesterday. You asked Coach Oz a question about Sively, and he kind of left it open that we may see some changes in the rotation possibly.
Well,
did I read that wrong?
No. That's the way I interpreted that answer. But you know, to paraphrase, I think what I heard him say was that if you take Sively out of the relief role, then it's going to further tax your bullpen, which is already having problems with depth because of the injuries. Now, Druckenmiller's been and Eagle fans, look, for his sake, it is not drunk. It is not D-R-U-N-K a Miller. It's not drunken Miller. It
Druck.
Is Druck. Yeah. D-R-U-C-K in Miller. Anyway, so he gets the start tonight, but Sively, where we had talked before that Saturday starter.
Billy Oldham.
Thank you. Gosh. Billy Oldham had been the most consistent. Mm-hmm. Now it looks like Sively has been the most consistent performer.
You know, ever since his opening start on that Sunday, I believe it was, opening weekend, struggled a little bit. Put him back in the reliever role, and, man, he shined kind of in that position behind Nico Mazza on Friday night. You know, Armistead struggled some. You know, you hate to kind of see him come out and not give him a chance to overcome where he kind of is right now, because we've seen him have some really great outings as well. But, you know, is Sively more comfortable in the reliever role? Does he want to be a starter? I don't know. I think he can be a starter. But it seems like we've had such a good rotational lineup in these past few weekends, aside from this past week, because, I mean, gosh, our starters really got hit hard. So I don't know if we're jumping the gun here by going ahead and replacing Armistead on Sunday or not. So I think
what bothers me is Sam Sklar told us this yesterday. Mazza's ERA in conference play now is over 10. I mean, he started so well.
Yeah.
And since conference, I mean, is that You think that's on the table? I mean, do you think that, that Oldham could get moved to a Friday and, you know, take a little relief off of Nico? I mean, do you think that's a possibility?
Yeah, I
mean,
I definitely think it's a possibility. And we also don't know what's going on inside the clubhouse, what's going on inside the dugout, is there some arm soreness or is there some back soreness or something that may be contributing to some of these outings that have not gone really how I know everybody wants. I don't know if it's too early to make those decisions yet and change things up. We'll have to rely on Coach Ostrander to make that decision and ultimately trust that decision.
You know, in a postscript on the Georgia State deal, this team, when it gets into a pitcher's ballpark, if all they do is hit these long fly balls at a pitcher's ballpark, they may get shut out, you know, because if that's all they do, easiest play in baseball is a routine fly ball.
Yeah.
So they're going to have to amend once they get into bigger ballparks.
It'll be neat to see at the end of the year what their home record is versus what their away record is.
Because they're definitely built for that home field.
They are. Yeah.
Right now, it's pretty interesting. Right now, they're 10-9 at home. They're 8-7 on the road.
Kind of split down the middle.
Yeah. Interesting. Well, find that really interesting.
We are visiting with Daniel Stewart, as we do every Tuesday, recapping the weekend of Southern Miss baseball. Before we step aside on our first commercial break today, remind you about our friends at Genesis of Hattiesburg. Coming up next week, I think, we've got a big remote down there as they've opened up their brand new place in Hattiesburg. So you need looking for a new car, go see our friends at Genesis of Hattiesburg. Eagle Hour continues with Daniel Stewart after these commercial messages from the Southern Bancorp Studios in Hattiesburg and Laurel.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
The Eagle Hour, Southern Miss to the top.
Eagle Hour continues on a Tuesday. Second segment brought to you by Campus Bookmark on Hardy Street in Hattiesburg. Great friends down there at Campus Bookmark. Kelly, basically anything in the world that you would want or could have Southern Miss or the Eagle logo put on, they have it at Campus Bookmark.
And actually, as we get closer to graduation now, coming up usually that first or second week in May, they've got these shadow boxes now at Campus Bookmark where it's perfect for mounting your diploma, you know, and keeping it safe from humidity and things like that, so you can hang it on your office wall. I mean, we kind of joke it costs you enough to get that diploma, so you might as well
take care of it.
So they can set you up with one of those at Campus Bookmark, among other things.
campusbookmark.net. you can shop anytime, so appreciate their great support of the Eagle Hour. We continue with Daniel Stewart, and so Daniel, give us, and I think you do this for us basically every week, but now with another week in the rearview mirror, 2-2 last week, 22-14, 9-6, five teams in the Sun Belt at 9-6, of course Louisiana 14-1 overall. This team is away from the Peat is 500. Inside the Peat, they are, I should say, neutral. They're 0-3. Away, 7-7. Inside the Peat, 15-4. That's good news for this week. But what do you make of this team through 36 games?
Well, you know, I do like to hear that record, because we always say the friendly confines of Peat Taylor Park. We do. We are a home team, obviously, with the record. We definitely have some struggles. We're going to have to overcome pitching depth. The bats have seemed to have picked up these last couple weekends, and you know, our guys that we expect to hit the ball hard are finally starting to do that. Dalton McIntyre still on fire. You know, defensively, we've shored some things up as well. So only three errors this past weekend, and you know, I won't necessarily say I like where we are, but I'm not upset with where we are right now either.
One of the common threads that I hear from Eagle fans is, yeah, you know, last year and this year we're about the same record, blah, blah, blah. This year's schedule might be a little bit tougher. But then they'll always seem to follow it up with, you know, we had like a 13 or 14 yeah. game winning streak last year. I don't see that in this team this year is what they'll say.
Yeah.
Why not?
Well, I think we hit on it last week. It just seems like this team has to fight a little harder for victories. And I can't really put my finger on it. Could it happen? Absolutely. I think it could. But we're going to have to dominate on the mound. We're going to have to get these guys commanding the strike zone, not walking people. We have walked a lot of people this year on the mound. I think one of the games this past weekend, we walked 10, six scored. Now, that's going to happen when they're hitting a lot of home runs. But we've got to command the strike zone better as a pitching staff. Aside from this past weekend, we know what our top guys are capable of doing. Got some really good relievers still. Hopefully these guys can just put this past weekend behind them, address any issues that need to get addressed, and move forward.
The reason I think they are able, that they're certainly capable of putting a streak together, as you just mentioned, because you got the Warhawks coming in here this mm-hmm. weekend, which – are toward the, they're having a decent season, but they're toward the bottom of the Sun Belt standings. Now the big hump is going to be the following weekend when you go down to the Swamp,
yeah,
in Lafayette. But you still got Archie State left. You got Texas State left. Those are certainly doable. You got Coastal at home, and you talked about the good record at home.
Yeah,
so it could happen.
It could happen, and there's a lot of parity, I think, in Sun Belt Conference baseball, too. We can't overlook anyone. That's obviously with Georgia Southern was not projected to be a really good team. Took two or three from us. Georgia State the same way. So, you know, ULL is going to be tough. We know Coastal is going to be tough. But I think for where we are from a mental standpoint, our team needs to approach every weekend as we need to sweep this weekend. We've got to we can't sit back. We can't rest. We've got to give it our all every weekend, because any team in the Sun Belt Conference can beat you any given day.
Luke, the Eagles are pretty successful in putting together 40-win seasons. Is that the general number you think that this team has got to accomplish? What's the magic number for you to think that, regardless of the Sun Belt tournament or whatever, how many wins do they have to put up to lock down an invitation? I ask you both that question.
Yeah, I mean, I think you can, you know, get in without winning that many. Certainly, because I mean that's what happened last year, right? I mean, you didn't get your 40th win till you were in postseason play.
Mm-hmm.
The problem here, and I haven't gone back to look at it compared to last year. They've only had one series sweep this year.
Right.
We would have several in previous years. And so I think some of the, call it macro and micro inconsistency, shows up in the fact that their only series sweep this entire year is Marshall. And there's been several 2 and 2 weeks. And I think you either figure that out, or it basically becomes, you know, what you know, eventually finishes you. And so hopefully the next couple weekends, it would be very good if we could get a sweep.
You know, even that Marshall sweep, we had a couple of plays, and that whole weekend could have gone the other way. You know, we had to play it at home there on Saturday that was overturned. You know, so it's going to be tough from here on out. I think we do need to get to that 40-win number, no matter where that happens, if it gets in the postseason, or I'd love to see us get there before. I think from a at-large selection, you know, we might get a little bit of a bump up just based on who we are.
Right.
I think we've developed that reputation.
Let's see. So we lost 1, 2, 3 games in the regionals, super regionals. So we lost 4. So going, we were 37-16 entering the conference tournament last year, and went 4-1
mm-hmm.
in the Sun Belt. Yeah. So 4-1. And then went 4-1 in the regional, and then went 1-2 in the super. So, yeah, think about it, 37-16. So to match that the rest of the way, you would have to go 15-2 right now.
Yeah.
To finish.
Yeah.
It could happen, but that's but it is a stretch. Here's something else that's a little bit problematic for this team is when you look at that logjam at 9-6, two of those teams you've lost series to. Georgia Southern and Georgia State are tied with you at 9-6.
Yeah.
Well, in the seeding process for the tournament, they're going to leapfrog Southern Miss because they beat the Eagles in those series.
They got the head-to-head advantage.
Yeah. So, I mean, right now you're looking at maybe, you know, a four seed. You know, but you still have some work to do.
Yeah.
And look, if you can go down to Lafayette and pick off one or two, that's something that very few other teams have been able to do. So it's like getting some shots back from the field. So it's still wide open, but you're going to have to tighten some things up.
Really going to have to tighten up. 15-2, that's a pretty good stretch. But, you know, I'm going to root for us every weekend.
Well, of course.
I'm going to hope, and I'm going to really –
Kelly's not.
Just kidding. And at this point, though, I think from a end of the year standpoint, we just need to say, hey, let's get to the conference. Let's perform well in the conference. Let's do whatever we've got to do to try to make a super regional. I don't think we're going to be a very good tournament team, though, just because you really see those teams that do well have pitch and depth. You know, if you're playing a game that ends up at 10 o'clock on a – you know, Thursday night, and you've got to turn around and play at 9 a.m. on a Friday morning. That's a tough turnaround for a pitching staff. I don't know.
Better
if
have
got
Mason Strickland ready. Better have him ready for the
better eight have him
complete game, eight inning complete game. Yeah, to that point, they have got to get a few things settled, and I do think they could. English losing to English hurts, but I do think there's a possibility they could stitch a game together where they needed. Because in a jam, you're not just going to Justin Storm. In a jam, you're not just going to Landon Harper. Now the in 2022, you know, it was Stewart that beat LSU like that. But I'm saying that's why English hurts so much, because we thought we had two or three of those get out of a jam guys on this staff, and it just hasn't worked out.
Yeah, the most important guys on our pitching staff, you know, if we project forward 4 weeks and look back, it might be a Drucken Miller like tonight. It might be Chandler Best. It might be one of those names that's not your premier starters, but if they can step up and really get some innings out or fill some innings up well and bridge the gap between – maybe we get Middleton back on track, finish out some games. We can make some things happen, but some of those guys are really going to have to step up from here on out.
Well, this weekend, the Cajuns come to town, and Mike Federico, the head baseball coach.
Warhawks.
What did I say?
You said the Cajuns.
Oh, that's right. No. The Warhawks will be, ULM. Coach Mike Federico, who was a longtime assistant at Southern Miss, now at ULM. He brings his team to town, also with some Mississippi flavor.
Oh, yeah.
Nobody knows this program as well as Fed does, so that'll be some fun.
Coach Federico was my sophomore year at Meridian. He was first coaching job that he got. He was our pitching coach then. So I know Coach Federico, great guy, does have the Mississippi ties, coached at USM.
Working to get Fed on the show later in the week, so hopefully that works out. Hey, Daniel, go ahead.
Well, I say really like Coach Fed, but they're gonna bring it. They, you know, we were circled on their calendar as well.
Absolutely. Daniel, thanks for your time, man. Thanks for always stopping and hanging with us on Tuesdays.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Always enjoy it.
When the Eagle Hour continues, it's a family affair. The father played at Southern Miss. His son right now is playing at Nichols. What to do? Well, we'll sort out this Jerry Springer family feud next when the Eagle Hour continues.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
In this segment of the Eagle Hour brought to you by 4th Street Bar and Grill. You can follow them on Facebook and find out what the 1095 Blue Plate Special is every day. And that 1095 includes your soft drink, tea, soft drink, water, whatever you want to drink, they'll have it there for you. And, of course, everybody there We'll be watching the Southern Miss game tonight against Nichols. It's air conditioned. Chance to have a little cold beverage and hang out with other Southern Miss folks. Pre-game or post-game, 4th Street Bar and Grill is the place you want to hang out. Kelly Sander and Luke Johnson from the Southern Bancorp Studios in Hattiesburg and Laurel. Producer-engineer Michael Mergens is here pushing all the right buttons. And now a story of a family affair. A father who played at Southern Miss, a son who's playing tonight for Nichols, a house divided. What to do? What to do? Joining us now is Matt Crosby, who pitched for the Golden Eagles under Coach Hill Denson back in the early 90s. His son, Cade, is playing tonight for Nichols. Matt, good to have you with us. How you doing?
Good. Weather's good down here in South Mississippi. Hopefully it holds up tonight in Hattiesburg.
Okay, so now, like I said, a family divided. Take us through this. No doubt you'll be cheering for the Colonels tonight.
Definitely a Nichols State fan tonight. Tomorrow would be a USM fan and a Nichols State fan.
Yeah. So, how much baseball shop do you get to talk with Cade?
To be honest with you, Kelly, not much, because it's crazy. We go there, and just say for a normal weekend, we go before the game. We don't get to see him. We see him maybe 15, 20 minutes after the game. Ask the normal questions. Do you need anything? Do you need money? How you doing? How's class? Everything going else good? And he goes in and goes back, goes to sleep, and they're up the field the next morning.
Matt, how did you wind up playing for Coach Denson? Tell us how that all transpired.
Coming out of high school, went to Gulf Coast and played for Coach Ferris. We went to the Junior College World Series, and before that, Coach Denson and Coach Lambeth, Doug Lambeth was
right.
The pitching coach, and Charlie Gray was our recruiting coordinator. They offered me a scholarship, and the biggest thing about Coach Denson, one of the greatest guys you'll ever meet in your life, I had a rotator cuff, and back then the surgeries are not the same as they are now.
Right.
I went to Andrews. It took me 6 months to get into Dr. Andrews. And he did my surgery, and I was out for a year. But Coach Denson had told us, hey, I offered you the scholarship. We're going to honor it. Come back that fall, see if we can throw and all this good stuff. And I was good. He had a lot of patience with me that spring. And then the next year, I was good to go, and I pitched a lot there.
Luke, Hill Denson liked to pick on his pitchers a little bit, didn't he?
Yeah, we were telling you off air, Matt, about Daryl Lindsay came on with us one time and said that Denson used to run his pitch count up. We told Coach Denson about it. He's like, oh, he didn't throw hard enough, you know, for even to have a pitch count. But you were joking with us. We've heard old stories about Coach Palmer as well. After two or three pitches, just announcing to the world that pitcher doesn't have it that evening. And Coach Denson also could have a short leash.
Very short. In a game against South Alabama one time, I went out there, and after, I guess, pickage, I got taken out. I went out there, threw four pitches. He looked at me and said, give me the blank ball and go back and figure out in the bullpen how to throw a strike.
All out of love. All out of love.
And it's great.
Yeah, and that's what, you know, it's what makes him a legend in that sense. Last year, Cade's first year at Nichols, got to go to the NCAA tournament, a regional. Colonels had an opportunity to beat Alabama in that first game. I knew that was special for you watching your son get to be part of NCAA regional.
Yes, sir. Yeah, they had a great year. It was Coach Silva has turned that program around big time. The things he's doing there and recruiting. I mean, look, it's a whole new world we live in with the transfer portal. And programs like Nichols, like a Southeastern, like a Troy, like, you know, these programs are benefiting off these guys that go in and may have a bad fall. And they were studs in high school and stud in their summer programs in Atlanta with the perfect game. And they may have a bad fall, and there's no loyalty really in baseball anymore, and or college baseball. And they'll cut them. And they'll get players in from other schools. Well, those players go to either a JUCO or another D1, and look, it's a totally different game when they get there. Maybe they get hot, and maybe they play like they used to. And Nichols has benefited off that. All schools are now. Look at Ole Miss's roster. It's a totally different roster than it was last year.
Yeah, the other thing, when Bobby Barbier was at Northwestern State, he's now at Southeastern Louisiana, but one of the things he told us, Matt, was the other thing that schools like Nichols and Northwestern, in his example, benefit from is that every kid by birthright wants to go to LSU. If they're from the state of Louisiana, obviously they can't sign everybody, but there are some hella good baseball players in Louisiana, and teams like Northwestern, Southeastern, and Nichols scoop those guys up.
Yes, and it's, you know, Cade played with the Sox program, East Coast Sox, up until, you know, he was either going to go to Samford, he wanted to go to Southern and places like that. So his last year he played with the Louisiana Knights. On the East Coast Sox team, I would say 80% of them was committed already. The Louisiana Knights team, maybe one or two, counting Cade, but those guys were great. Those guys were just as good or as good as these other players. And they're playing right now still in Division I. But they don't get recruited, and you're right, they all want to go to LSU, and they got their heart and mindset on LSU, and it doesn't work out that way. And they go to these other places, and it works out great for them.
Yeah, let's talk about what Cade's doing. It's worked out well for him this year. 355 through 27 games, second on the team and five home runs, OPS well over 1,000. He's really thrived.
Yeah, he's seeing it well right now. And, Kelly, you know, and Luke, you probably know. I mean, hey, that could change tonight. It's baseball. Like the other day, I saw him hit two really good line drives, but the outfielders didn't move. And then, you know, the guy behind him hits a bloop in right center. So it's all baseball. It changes, but the biggest thing is I always told him and all the guys that I've been around all these years, just stay consistent. It is a long process.
Matt, what has kind of your message over the years, because I was reading an article from several years ago when he was coming out of high school, and you kind of gave him freedom. Hey, just because I went to Southern, you don't have to go to Southern. Just because I did this, you don't have to do this. And, you know, it seems like sometimes there can just kind of be total extreme. Some guys that play at the collegiate level put a lot of pressure on their kids. Other guys want them to be their own person. What's been your approach with Cade?
Do whatever Cade wants. It's his life. It's, you know, the opportunity. We thought, to be honest with you, we thought he was going to go play football at first. Out of high school, and he went on a few recruiting trips, and you know, the 5'11 and a half didn't sit well with some coaches. So he kind of got, not really, just, hey, maybe it's baseball, you know. So he went and played baseball, and everything's worked out for him so far and where he's gone and everything. But I will tell you, you know, my time at Southern was just great, awesome. The friends I made, the teammates I had, and still when I go back, I see guys, you know, that used to sit in the stands when we played.
Matt, where were some of your favorite, real quick, some of your favorite hangout places in Hattiesburg when you were on campus in the early 90s?
Oh, Lord, JD's for sure. That was Judge's, JD's. Jay was a manager, a baseball manager of ours, the guy that owned the bar.
Which used to be the Judge's Chambers, I think, down on Hardy Street.
Down on Hardy Street.
Right.
Exactly. And then you had the Sharkies.
Sharkies, Shuck and Jive.
Yes. Great place.
Yeah. That
was our house. We lived in a 7-bedroom antebellum house down 7th Street. There was 8 of us or 9 of us that lived in there, and that was a good hangout for everybody.
Now, our house, then, did that have the big Lazy Susan meals and stuff that you could?
It had, yeah.
Yeah.
Had everything.
Yeah. Yeah. I got you. Yeah.
And then, you know, just the Mahogany Bar.
Yeah.
What was that? Robbie's, maybe across from Panalink there.
Yes. Yeah. An old kind of a seafood place. Yeah.
Great place.
Yeah.
Just all those. And Roper's had just opened. And a guy from Carthage, Missouri, named Doug Benefield, would go there and teach dance lessons. And he played baseball with us. So, He would do the dance lessons and eat free buffets. That's the reason why he did it.
Well, he's pretty good on his feet then, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Well, tonight, Matt Crosby, who pitched for Southern Miss in the early 90s under Hill Denson, will be watching his son, Cade. But Cade won't be in a Southern Miss uniform. He'll be in a Nichols uniform. So this family divided, family divided only on the baseball field, very much together off the field. Matt, hey, thanks for taking time with us, buddy. Continued success, and we wish the best for Cade.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Kelly. Thank you, Luke.
You bet. Matt Crosby with us. That music is what we call bumper music. We've got one more segment left to go. Luke, as we speak, is gathering news and notes from the Southern Miss world. A couple of other neat things from the sports world we'll talk about after we take our final break. The Eagle Hour continues in a moment.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Southern Miss to the top.
To the top.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Final segment on this Tuesday brought to you by DBAT in Hattiesburg. DBATHattiesburg.com, located on Hardy Street. Pro Shop Instructions. Batting cages. It's all there at DBAT. Luke Kelly and Michael from the Southern Bancorp Studios in Hattiesburg. And Laurel, if you missed Daniel Stewart's conversation with us about baseball, and then we talked to Matt Crosby, father of Cade Crosby, who plays for Nichols. Matt, a former Southern Miss baseball player. If you missed all that, go back and listen on demand today, supertalk.fm, or get the Eagle Hour in podcast form, Google Play, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, or Audible, or you can ask Alexa to play the Super Talk Eagle Hour for you. Baseball tonight set to take on Nichols. The Colonels will throw left-hander Dylan Farley. He's a senior, 1-2 overall with a 9 ERA. Drew, and just so I say it right, Kelly, tell me the last name.
Druckenmiller.
Drew Druckenmiller,
there you go,
Junior, started last week, looked really good, 5 strikeouts in last week's win. He will start for the Golden Eagles tonight, the junior right-hander. Sunbelt Golf, the ladies' championship down in Point Clear, Alabama. Lady Eagles falling back a few spots today. They are 7th overall now. Mershay Corbichot had an excellent first round with a 70 yesterday. True freshman Rajanina Vett had a 72, Elena Melich 74, J.C. Fields with a 75, Amoko Ando 77. Today, Corbichot tied for 4th overall. She's 3 over for the tournament. Ando 2 over today. Lady Eagles will finish up tomorrow in the third round of the championship. Men with their last tune-up tournament before the Sunbelt Championships at the Mossy Oak Collegiate. At Mossy Oak Golf Course in West Point. Your boy Robbie Ladder shot a 64 yesterday, Kelly Santa.
Man, that's going low. See, I'll bet in competition, I don't know that Robbie's ever shot 64. That's playing. I don't care where you are.
Good stuff yesterday as a team. Eagles behind now, though. They are 10th out of 14 teams. They will continue today, and we'll work to get Eddie Brescher on later in the week and get a golf update for him going into the Men's Sun Belt Championship next week. Across the Sun Belt, tonight, Virginia taking on Old Dominion in Norfolk, Texas State on the road at Incarnate Word, Georgia State host Kennesaw State, App State down in Cullowhee. Is that right? Western Carolina, Cullowhee?
Yeah, I'm Cullowhee. Not sure. That is a – I don't know how to pronounce that.
I think it's Cullowhee, North Carolina. All that western part of North Carolina. Beautiful place. App State at Western Carolina. Coastal and Chapel Hill against the Tar Heels. Marshall hosting Morehead State, Louisiana Tech. The short trip to Monroe to take on the Warhawks. Troy at Samford. Arkansas State in Jonesboro hosting Ole Miss. And the Raging Cajuns in Hammond tonight take on Southeastern Louisiana. Of course, Golden Eagles hosting Nichols tonight at 6 p.m.
In WNBA draft last night, as expected, Caitlin Clark, the standout from Iowa, who almost single-handedly put women's basketball on a huge national stage, was taken first by Indiana in the first pick, as the first pick in the WNBA draft. And John Sterling has been the radio voice of the New York Yankees since 1960. He has announced his retirement, effective immediately. Now, normally a radio broadcaster would, you know, resign at the end of the season, but he says it's effective immediately. He will be honored Saturday at Yankee Stadium. He said at 85, he's tired. And I would...
he has a right to be tired.
Yeah, I would think that that he could take some time now and take it easy. But right here as the season has started, John Sterling retiring as the longtime voice of the Yankees, and he was the one that coined that phrase, Yankees win, Yankees win, Yankees win. So
I was I did spend some time looking at the WNBA draft last night. Lauren and I got invested in the ladies' tournament, and so kind of from Sweet 16 down, we knew all the big players. So Caitlin Clark's teammate, Kate Martin, ended up going to Las Vegas in the second round, so two Iowa players drafted. But how about Chicago? So Chicago, with number three overall, took Cardoso, who was the big center for South Carolina that won the championship, right?
Right.
They got Cardoso, three overall, and then they had the seventh overall pick. They got Angel Reese from LSU. They got those two bigs in the first round together. So pretty interesting. First time I've ever really followed the WNBA draft. And Dominique Davis, not drafted. We'll be interested to see if she gets some free agent opportunities. And you know she will be playing professional basketball somewhere, Kelly.
She's arguably the best player to ever play at Southern Miss. You know, Pauline Love, you know, played professional basketball.
There've been Janice Felder.
Janice Felder, yeah, been a couple others. But boy, and what she meant to the Lady Eagle team the last couple of years. I mean, she was really the mainstay. And the way that she would play hurt, I mean, you just don't see that type of determination and grit anymore. So we hope that that Dom will land on her feet professionally if that's what she wants to do.
Absolutely. Eagles take on Nichols State tonight, packed to Pete on a midweek. First time they've been back. Well, I guess they were there last Tuesday, but, man, what, 7 out of the last 8 games
on
the road.
Little home streak here.
15-4 within the friendly confines of Pete Taylor Park. Hope to see you at the Pete. Tonight, Travis Creel will tell us all about the game tomorrow, and we will catch you then. Have a great Tuesday. And as always, Southern Miss.
To the top. I want to fly like an eagle to the sea.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.